This is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 19, verse 222 through 225. And here, this is Sanatan Shiksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is describing Rasa Tattva and describing the nature of Sakya Rasa, the kind of intimacy that's shared. Shantera guna dasyar sevan sakya duihai dasyar sambrahmagora seva sakya vishvasmai kande charai kari kriraran krishne seve krishne karai apana sevan vishramba pradana sakya gaurav sambrahm hina hate eva sakya rasir tina guna china mamata Adhika Krishna, Atma Sama Gyan, Hateva Sakhi Rasir, Vasha Bhagavan. So it's describing Sakhi Ras, the qualities of Shanta Ras and the service of Dasi Ras are both present on the platform of Sakhi Ras, which is friendly Ras. On the platform of fraternity or Sakya Ras, the qualities of Dasya Ras are mixed with the confidence of fraternity instead of awe and reverence, Aishwarya. In other words, in Dasya Ras, there isn't much intimacy. There's the master Krishna, then there's the servants, Raktak and Patrak, and different servants in Braj, but they aren't very much in a confidential mood or an intimate mood with the Lord. There's a certain coding of respect and awe and reverence. They're thinking, oh, this Krishna is Nanda Nandan, Yashoda Nandan. He's the son of the king of Braj, Brajendra Nandan. You know, he's the prince. He's a Yuvaraj. And so there's obviously some distance created. As soon as you think that he's big and you're small, there's a distance. I'm a servant and he's the son of the king. He's not just anybody on the street. And I happen to be posted as his house servant. I prepare his clothes or prepare his bath and clean his room or whatever. But I can never transgress that relationship of certain. There's Aishwarya there. Aishwarya means grandeur, awe and reverence. And Sakhi Ras, the devotee sometimes offers the Lord service and sometimes makes Krishna serve him in exchange. So that's the equality. And Sakya, Sakya means friendship. Krishna's friends, they serve Krishna. They serve him food, or they may even dress him or help dress him sometimes after bathing or do some service for him. Allow him to sleep on their legs, or they might massage his legs after they're herding the cows or wrestling, they may get tired. One coward boy, one friend, Sridhar may offer to massage his legs or rub his feet, press his feet. But then Krishna will also, after he gets his feet pressed, he'll press their feet. So there's no question in the house servants or Krishna serving the house servants. This is not possible because there's that awe and reverence is there. There's no equality there. There's the master and the servant. But friends is friend to friend, heart to heart. There's equality. So Krishna serves the friends and the friends serve him. When they fight, it's actually called mock fighting or pretend fighting, the coward boys sometimes climb on Krishna's shoulders and have him carry them. Because they have a fight, the coward boys, Sridham, Subal, Vasudham, and Sudham, and Kinkini, Arjun, Vidugda, and different cowboys, they fight, and then they challenge each other and say, if you lose, if I defeat you, I beat you in fighting, then you have to carry me on your shoulders. And if you defeat me, then I'll carry you on my shoulders. So it's telling here that sometimes the boys would climb on Krishna's shoulders, and Krishna would have to carry them. So that means that they defeated him. Ajita, Krishna's known as Ajita, but not in Vrindavan. Ajit, or you say Ajit. Jagjit Singh, or what is that singer's name?
Jagjit.
So Krishna is obviously God, Bhagavan. He's victorious. He's the most powerful person in the universe. When it comes to Braj, he's not a big deal. Sridham defeats him so many times in wrestling. Subal defeats him. Then he has to carry them. Awe and reverence or Aishwarya are absent on the platform of fraternity. Since this ras is predominated by service, imbued with the confidence of mamata, which means possessiveness, he is mine. So there's no this awe and reverence, because in fraternity, unlike dasya ras or shanta ras, there's this respect and distance and formality is not there. They're thinking we're equal with Krishna, even we're better than Krishna, we defeat him, we're stronger than he is. And they have this mood, they're very confident, they don't have any, they're not worried, oh, I'm Krishna's servant, and maybe if I don't serve him correctly, I may get fired, or maybe I get sent away from the palace, or sent away from Krishna's service, and engaged somewhere else by King Nanda. But the friends, they don't have any fear of that. There's no fear there. There's no awe, there's no reverence, there's no fear. Oh, Krishna's not going to be my friend anymore. He won't play with me anymore. No, I know he needs me. I know he needs me, and I know he depends on my friendship, and he can't be happy without me. In fact, Krishna's mine. This is mamata. This mamata, possessiveness. Therefore, Sakya Ras is characterized by the qualities of three rasas, Shanta, Dasya, and Sakya. On the platform of Sakiras, or friendship, or fraternity, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is controlled by the devotees who are intimate with him and think themselves equal with him. Mamata Adhika, Krishna Atma Samagyan. They think, they have knowledge that Atma Sama, that they themselves are equal to Krishna. This is the nature of this Sakiras. It's very sweet speciality. And then another place, Nadi Adi Lila 4:25, Krishna is telling, Sakashuda Sakye Kare Skande Arohan Tumi Kon Bharaloka Tumi Amisam. Krishna said, my friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship and they say, what kind of big man are you? You and I are equal. Bharaloka. Kon Bharaloka? What kind of big person are you? So this is another verse in 10th canto of Bhagavatam, 18th chapter, 24th verse. Uvaha Krishna Bhagavan Sridhamanam Parajita Vrishabham Vajrasenastu Pralambo Rohini Sutam. Being defeated by Sridham, Krishna had to carry his friend Sridham upon his back. And Vrishab, Vajrasena, and Pralamba took Balaram, the powerful son of Rohini, upon their backs. Because Balaram had defeated them, so they had to carry him. This is some of the sweetness of Sakiras that's described here. Now, going on in this Sanatana Shiksha, that we have some description of parental love, which is a little bit more intimate, because it has the qualities of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, plus some additional qualities and moods which we don't find in Krishna's friends or servants or neutral party. We find this quality of nurturing and chastising. Parents, they nourish, they feed, they maintain the children. They also chastise him and punish him and correct him and take a stick and threaten to beat him. Vatsalya ras, Madhya 19:226-228. Vatsalya shantara gun, dasyara sevan, se se sevanera ihan, namapalan, sakyar guna asankocha, agoravasar, mamatari ke tadan, varsana vyavahar, apanare palakyan, Krishna Palyagan, Chari Gune Vatsalya Rasa Amrita Saman. In parental love, Vatsalya Ras, the qualities of Shant, Dasya, and Sakya are transformed into a form of service called Palana Poshana. So Palan means protecting, like Gopal. Gopal means protector of the cows, and Poshana means to nourish. or to guard or protect. Palana poshana, protecting and nourishing, or guardianship. The essence of fraternal love, or brotherly love, sakiras, is intimacy, devoid of the formality of reverence found in dasiras. So his friends, the essence of that friendship is that there's an intimacy. There's this, hey, you're my friend, I'm your friend, you, whatever's mine is yours. You eat something, I eat something, we share our food, we're so much intimate. So this on reverence, which is characteristic of dasiras, is absent there. But when this possessiveness, this feeling of mamata, the Krishna's mind, when that increases in possessiveness, the devotee with a mood of parental love feels free to chastise and rebuke the Lord as ordinary parents do. Tadana Bartsana. In parental love, the devotee considers himself the Lord's maintainer and protector. Thus the Lord is the object of nourishment and protection, like a son. Since this mellow has the combined qualities of Shant, Dasya, Sakya, and Vatsalya, it is just like nectar. So Adi Leela chapter 4, it says, Matamore putra bhave karena bandan Attihina jnane kare lalana palan. Krishna says, Mata, mother Yashoda, sometimes binds me as her son. Karena bandana putra bhave. Putra bhav. Because she thinks that I'm her son. Putra bhav. She nourishes and protects me. Lalana palana. Thinking me utterly helpless. This is considered to be the Sutra Shloka Vatsalya Ras, 10th canto Bhagavat, 8th chapter, 45th verse. Traya chopanishad bhischa sankhya yogaischa sattvate upagiyamana mahatmyam harim samanyatatmajam. The glories of Sri Hari are studied through the three Vedas, Upanishads, and Sankhya Yoga, and other Vaishnava literatures. Nevertheless, Mother Yashoda considered that the Supreme Person was nothing but her ordinary child. So this is, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, you can see in Sarita Darshini, he considers this shloka to be the sutra, or the, you can say, compact description of Vatsali Ras. Sutra means codified knowledge or condensed knowledge, Vedanta Sutra. We say Janmad Yasya Yataha. Krishna is the beginning and the source of everything, the cause of all birth of everything is Bhagavan. So this is the sutra that summarizes the mood of Vatsalya Ras. That all the Vedas and Upanishads, they talk about the Hari Mahatmyam, the glories of Mahatmyam, of the, let's see, the glories of Hari. But Mother Yashoda, she says, okay, the Vedas are saying he's God, Bhagavan, the creator, Parameshwara, Parabrahman, but all I know is he's my son. And then I have to feed him, otherwise he'll die. And I have to chastise him, otherwise he'll misbehave and grow up and get himself in trouble. And he won't be able to get properly married when he grows up, because no one will want to give their son to him. So Pariksha Maharaj, he was, after hearing about the great fortune of Mother Yashoda, then he was asking, he was saying, how is this possible? Nanda kim akarod brahman, shreya eva mahodayam, Yashoda cha mahabhaga, papo yasya stanam hari. That Sri Hari Krishna, stanam, her breast, how is it possible? Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. What auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj do in the past or previous lives to achieve such perfection and ecstatic love. Of course, now we, next in our description, and Madhya Lila, we come to Madhurya Ras. Because each Ras has one more, something added to it. Like $1 contains $1, but $2 contains $1 plus another dollar. And $3 contains $1 plus $2 plus $3. So Madhurya Ras has all the rasas. It is all, it's complete. So Madhurya Ras includes Shanta plus Dasya plus Sakya plus Vatsalya, that's 4, plus the desire to offer one's whole body in loving service of Krishna. And the technical term is called Nija Anga Diya. Diya, to give your Anga, your body, Nija, your own body, Nija Anga Diya. This is described in Madhya Lila chapter 19, 231, 234. Madhura rase Krishna nishta seva atishai sakiras asankocha lalana mamata adikyahai kanta bhava nijanga diyakarena sevan ateva madhura rasarhaya panchagun akashari guna jena para para bhute ekadui tina chari krame pancha prativite. He mata madure sabha bhava samahar ateva aswaradike kare chamatkar. Kare chamatkar, astonishingly relishable, aswad adike, extra tasting, intensified tasting. In Madhurya Ras, conjugal love, gopis' love for Krishna, attachment for Krishna, which is shant, rendering service to him, dasya, the uninhibited playful feelings of fraternity, sakya, and the feelings of protecting and nourishing all increase in intimacy and intensity. In conjugal love, Madhurya Ras, the devotee offers his body in the service of the Lord. On this platform, all five transcendental qualities are present. All the qualities of matter, this is like an analogy, all the qualities of material energy evolve one after another in the material sphere, beginning with space. By gradual evolution, first one quality develops, then two, then three, four, until five qualities are found in the element earth. Similarly, all the service moods of the devotee, the moods of service of the devotees and the other four rasas are amalgamated with conjugal love. Thus, this intensified ras is astonishingly relishable. Aswad, adike, chamatkar. So the analogy that is used here in Chaitanya Charitamrita is about the earth. That the earth has all the qualities. All five qualities are there. There's taste, rasam, and there's sound, and there's touch, and there's rupam, and ganda. Earth has smell, has all five qualities. But if you have ether, because you have ether, kamano buddhara evachat, bhumirapo nalo vayu kamano buddhara evachat. So you have earth, water, fire, air, and ether. These are the five elements. Like we have five rasas. Shant, das, sakya, vatsalya, madhurya. So in shant, that's the equivalent of ether. And ether, the only thing you have is sound, shabda. And after ether comes air. And in air you have shabda and you have touch. Then after air you have fire. And in fire you have sound. And you have touch. And then you have rupam, you can see it. And then you have water. You have sound, touch. You have sound and touch and rupam, and you have taste and water. So four things. And then you come to earth and you have five things. Sound and touch and taste and smell and like that. Five things are there. Right? Smell, and taste, and form. All these things are there. So this is an analogy to use. So the qualities and taste, they increase with each successive ras. And this is also explained in Madhyalila 8, 86 in Ramananda Sambhag. Gunadike sevarikya vare prati rase shantadasya sakya vatsalyar gunamadurayate vaise. As the qualities increase, the taste also increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in shanta ras, dasya ras, sakya, and vatsalya are all manifested in conjugal love. So even this mood of prayer, even the gopis that love Krishna in consorthood, they have a mood of chastising Krishna, which they do. Why you came late? Why did you mistreat Radharani? What is this? You know, you have to do some penance now. You have to go to Radhakund and chant some mala of Radharani's name, and you have to dress up as a lady if you want to, you know, and you have to disguise yourself and go make Radharani happy, then maybe she'll talk to you. And so they punish him, and they reprimand him, rebuke him, and they also nourish him. They cook for him. Radharani cooks his breakfast every morning. So this is the completest expression or fullest expression of devotion is possible only in Madhurya Ras, which Ramananda explains also. Paripurna Krishna Prapti E Prema Haite E Premara Vasha Krishna Kahe Bhagavate. Paripurna Krishna Prapti. Complete attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna is made possible only in Madhurya Ras or conjugal love. Sri Krishna is indeed brought under control of such love. This is stated in Bhagavatam 10.82.44, Mayi Bhaktir Hi Bhutanam. So this is, we can read that verse from Bhagavatam. So this Madhurya Ras is the most complete expression of devotion or love or bhakti for Krishna, because it has the power to completely control Krishna. Premara Vasha Krishna. Vasha means to control. Vasha. This love. We hear that Krishna is controlled by love, and the greatest devotee of Krishna is Srimati Radharani. And her unlimited transcendental qualities are listed as 25, and of those 25, the greatest one is her ability to control Krishna by her love. So in this chapter 82 from 10th canto, it's describing the beautiful meeting of Krishna and Balaram at Kurukshetra during this Surya Grahan, solar eclipse, when all the Brijvasis came from Vrindavan with their bullock carts, Nandavava Yashoda, Sridham Subal, Radharani, and Lalita Vishaka, and they met Krishna and the Yadavas and the Brishnis, and Rohini and Vasudeva Devaki, Ugrasen, all of the residents of Dwarka had also come there. And at that time, Krishna approached the gopis in a secluded place, and they were standing in ecstatic trance. They were so much amazed because they had been separated from Krishna for 100 years. So he went, after he met Yashoda and the coward boys, he met the coward boys and Yashoda and Nanda, then he went to a secret place, a secluded place, and to talk and mingle freely with the gopis. They were stunned in ecstasy. They couldn't even move. So then, by employing his vibhuti shakti, he embraced each of the gopis individually. He embraced them so tightly that each gopi woke up from her ecstatic trance. That's a good way to come out of a trance.
Yes.
If you're in a trance, and a trance means being like unconscious, and you're unconscious, and then all of a sudden you wake up in the arms of some beautiful woman, tightly embracing you until you're practically breaking your ribs. Then you'll think, oh, this is very good, I should be in a trance every day. So Krishna, the gopis were in this trance, and he woke them up. They woke up means they were unconscious, they were sleeping. And that means basically they were staying in a trance, and he woke them up means that they were like unconscious. like sleeping. And when they woke up, they were tightly wrapped by the snake-like arms of Krishna, crushing them in a loving embrace, prema lingata. Even in the Bhagavatam it says, ashlishya namayam. So ashlishya means embrace. Upasangata means intensely, deeply associating. And then he asked them, he said, are you now relieved of your pain of separation? And then he laughed. Krishna laughed to lighten their spirits. I'm sure they were also happy. And then Krishna was asking the gopis, he said, gopis, api smarata na sakya, swanam marta chikirshaya, katam chirayitan chatru, paksha shapana chetasa. Oh sakis, do you still remember me? It was only for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long for the purpose of destroying my enemies. Do you perhaps think that I am ungrateful and thus you feel you are holding me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living entities together and then separates them. So Krishna is blaming everything on providence. But of course he is that Supreme Lord. And then he goes on, he's saying, it's all the Lord's doing. It wasn't my fault. Then he says, Vayur yata gananikam trinam tulam rajamsicha samyojyakshipate buyas tata bhutani bhutakrit. Just as the wind brings together masses of clouds, blades of grass, wisps of cotton, and particles of dust, only to scatter them again. So the Creator deals with His created beings in the same way. So he's trying to make an analogy. Just like pieces of dust come together and float in the air, so we were like, gopis, you and I were like pieces of dust, and the Creator threw us together for a short time in Vrindavan for 11 years. Then He scattered us to the wind, and I went south and west to Dwarka, and you stayed here. And that's just fate. And then he describes this verse, which is mentioning about this quality of Madhurya Ras, 44, 10th chapter, 82. Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam amritat vaya kalpate dishtya yad asin matsneho bhavatina madapanaha. Krishna said to the gopis in Kurukshetra, Mayi bhakti hi bhutanam. Any living entity who does my bhakti, renders devotional service to me, qualifies himself for eternal life, amrit, amritatvaya kalpate dishtya. But, he's saying, but gopis, by your good fortune, you have developed a special loving attitude toward me by which you have obtained me. Matsneho bhavatina madapana. So their love was so great because we're mentioning that this characteristic of Madhurya Ras, which is described in Madhi Lila 888, is that premara vasha Krishna. That this prema has a special quality of vasha Krishna. It controls Krishna. Radharani controls Krishna by her love. That's her 25th quality. So this is supported here. Again, this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita is also proven here in Krishna's own words. When he met the gopis after 100 years, he met them at Kurukshetra and he said, listen, your sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, your sneha, just your sneha, and there's 8 different levels of love. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, and there's madanakya mahabhav and modanakya mahabhav. Just the beginning of your love, your gopi, your sneha, matsneho, that's enough. You have a special loving attitude towards me, your sneha, by which you have obtained me, so you're controlling me. So Vishwanath is telling in his purport that the gopis replied, oh, crest jewel of clever speakers. he's speaking so clever. That Supreme Lord that you are blaming for us coming together or separating is none other than yourself. Everyone in the world knows this. Why should we be ignorant of this fact? Then Krishna replies, but my dear Sakis, if this is true, I must be God. But still, I am conquered by your loving affection. Thus Krishna is saying in this verse, just by devotion to me, one can achieve liberation. Amritattvaya. That's what he says in the first sentence of the verse. He says, right, he says, Mayi bhaktir hi bhutanam. Bhutanam means any bhuta, any living entity. Mayi bhakti. Anyone, any living entity does my bhakti. What does he get? He gets amrit. He gets amara, no death. He gets liberation. He lives forever. He never suffers birth or death. So anyone who just has mayi bhakti. But then he says, but you, gopis, you have attained something special. Not just mayi bhakti, but matsneho. You have sneha for me. You have attained affection for me. But you have attained affection for me. That is my good fortune. So Krishna, Vishnu Chakravarti is telling that Krishna is speaking to the gopis in this verse that you have attained affection for me is my good fortune, dishtya, since it causes you to attain me, manapana. So the actual hidden meaning of Krishna's words is as follows. Vishnu is revealing what is called parokshavad, the vad, or the words, or the meaning, the indirect meaning, the implied meaning of what Krishna spoke to the gopis in this verse from Bhagavatam. Krishna is actually saying, O gopis, your affection drags me to you by force. It brings me close to you, and it assures that very soon I will come to remain permanently with you. So this is a Kurukshetra, and Krishna has come from Dwarka with all his elephants and chariots and regal paraphernalia and royal dress. But he's assuring the gopis that you, matsneha, you have a very special affection and sneha for me, that I become controlled by it, and it's so powerful that your affection is going to drag me, not only from Kurukshetra, which you want to take me now, but definitely I'll be dragged from Dwarka and be forced to come back to Vrindavan to be with you, because your love is so powerful, so attractive, that it even attracts the all-attractive one. As this morning we were saying that Krishna, the word Krishna means attraction and satisfaction, but Krishna himself finds his satisfaction in being with the gopis. They satisfy him more than Yashoda or the coward boys or Raktak and Patrak and his house servants. So he's so much satisfied by them and so much attracted to them that he himself will run to be with them. So that's why this verse is saying, A Premara Vasha Krishna, Krishna Kahi Bhagavat, that Bhagavan Sri Krishna is actually controlled by the love of his devotees, and most controlled by the devotees who have the most love. And devotees who have the most love are the Madhurya Bhaktas, or the gopis of Braj. And Prabhupada, he gives a purport to this verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Srila Prabhupada says, conjugal love, Madhurya Ras, is also known as Shringar Ras. Sometimes it's called Ujvala. Ujvala Ras, Adi Ras, or Shringar Ras. It is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam that in a complete combination of loving service to the Lord, namely conjugal love, the Supreme Lord Krishna fully agrees to be under the control of the devotee. The highest form of conjugal love is represented by Srimati Radharani. Therefore, in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we can see that Krishna is always subjugated by Srimati Radharani's influence. Well, that's a very nice statement. And here, there's some further elaboration on the on this nature of Madhurya Prem. And the gopis are saying in Veno Gita and 10:21:7 that the perfection of the eyes is to see Krishna. We see so many things, but we don't see Krishna. But if we could see Krishna, then that would be our perfection. That's in Bhagavad Gita, and chapter 21, verse 7. Akshanvatam phalamidam naparam vidamha sakya pushan anavi veshyator vayasye vaksham vrajesha sutiyor anuvena jushtam yarva nipitam anarakta kataksha moksham. The gopis said, they're speaking to themselves, this is Venugita. Gopis glorifying the song of Krishna's flute, Dasama Skanda. And in this chapter, Krishna's gone out to the forest with all his coward boys and to go with the animals and cows. And then the coward girls, the gopis, are the damsels of Braj. Damsels of Braj, as Prabhupada often says, damsels of Braj. The Braj gopis, they were remembering Krishna and speaking to one another. Oh, now he's over here at Govardhan with the cows, or now he's at Manasiganga, now he's at Bhojantali taking some prasad. And so they're saying, I wish we could see him. Sakis, we think that for those who have eyes, there is no greater object of vision. Success of the eyes lies in beholding this object alone. We know of no other. It is the vision of the two sons of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna and Baladev, along with the gopis, as they enter the forest taking the cows, or as they bring them back to Vrindavan. Krishna and Balaram hold their flutes to their lips and look upon us with mild smiles and amorous sidelong glances filled with love. At that time we drink the sweetness of their faces. So this is, it says, Nipitam anurakta kataksha moksham. Nipitam means, like pio, we say in Hindi, jal pio, what do you say, pio? Pani pio or something, where you drink water. So pio means to drink, so in Sanskrit it's nipitam. Drinking the nectar of Krishna's sidelong glances, anurakta, filled with attachment and love, kataksha, sidelong glances. So, anurakta kataksha moksham. So this is a beautiful verse where the gopis are describing, this is the perfection of the eyes. So this is how the love is so intense at the level of Madhurya Ras that they want to, this is the only thing worth seeing. There's no other purpose of having eyes than to see Krishna. And the BBT Bhagavatam, this verse is translated, oh gopis, oh sakis, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. Phalam idam naparam vidama. As these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends, sakya pashun anaviveshitora vayasye, surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he's saying, my only goal in life is the Braja gopis, who, being attracted by the nectar shower from Krishna's flute, ran out of their houses, and whose sweet words repeated here in these pages enable us to relish that nectar too. So this is a time to time, the commentator of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he reveals his own heart's desire, his own personal meditation, rather than just being a commentator or writing some commentary. He actually reveals how he feels about the subject matter. Of course, he's written commentaries in the whole Bhagavatam, especially this 10th canto. He's saying, yes, these gopis that are speaking the Venugita, chapter 19, they are my ishta, they are my goal. I want to be a gopi, I want to be a mandri. Of course, he is a mandri. Vinod Valari Manjari, is Nitya Swarup, Siddhasrup, and his Siddhasrup is Nam, his name is Vinod Valari. So my only goal in life is the Braja Gopis, who being attracted by Krishna's flute ran out of their houses. And so then he's saying, and they spoke these words. They couldn't run to Krishna, but they ran out of their houses and met each other and said, "Oh, do you hear that? Yes, I hear that. Do you know what that is? Yes, it's Krishna's flute. Oh, what they look like this if we can only see him. That what good is our eyes? What use is our, what's the value of our eyes looking at our mother-in-law all day? Looking at our father-in-law, our useless husbands and children and relatives, sisters-in-law, this is worthless. The only thing worth seeing is to see Krishna enter the forest or to leave the forest. To leave the village with the cows and go out to the forest, that's the perfection. Or at the end of the day, when he comes back in Apurvan Leela, to see him come back, that is the perfection. Because we can only see him when he goes and comes, because we're not living with him, and we're not playing with him all during the day. So this is the perfection. This is what the perfection we're waiting for. We're waiting for this moment. We're waiting for this time. All night while we're sleeping, we're waiting for the morning when he will walk by his house. And all day when we're awake, we're waiting for the afternoon when he'll return in the early evening. In the Purvan Leela at 5 o'clock in the evening and walk by our house and cast his Kripa Kataksha, Krishna Kripa Kataksha. His sidelong love-laden glances, suggesting amorous invitations. We will see his eyes like this. This is the perfection. Otherwise, there's nothing worth seeing. There's nothing worth looking at. So Vishnath is saying, yes, everyone, let's relish the nectar of these verses. Let's hear these verses. So in this verse, the gopis mean to say, because Vishnath has become Tanmoy. He's merged his heart and mixed his heart with the gopis' heart. And he's mixed his mind with the gopis' mind. And he's mixed his aspirations with the gopis' aspirations. Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. His Manobishtam, his heart's desire, is become one with the gopis. As they want to see Krishna, and they're hearing his flute and want to see Krishna, he wants also to hear Krishna's flute as the gopis are hearing, and he wants to see Krishna like the gopis are seeing. So now he's understanding what they actually mean to say. So he's paraphrasing their words in his purport by saying, "Oh Sakis," one Sakis talking to the other. They're gathering in front of their house and like ladies come out. There's neighbors, one house, and if something happens on the street, some calamity or some accident, then one lady comes out from her house. Then the lady next door comes out from her house, and the lady across the street. Then they all gather together. "Oh, what happened? Oh, the truck came this way, and the boy ran this way and hit him." And they all get together and discuss it. So all the gopis are in a cluster out on the footpath in Barsana or Chitsoli or anywhere where Krishna's going by. And they're saying, "Oh, Sakis, if you simply remain in the shackles," that means the bondage, the chains, "of family life in this material world, what will you ever get to see? The Creator has granted us these eyes. So let us see the most wonderful thing there is to see." The most wonderful thing there is to see is Krishna. The gopis were aware that their mothers-in-law or sisters-in-law might hear their romantic words and disapprove. So to hide their true feelings, they said, "Akshanvatam phalam," in this verse there, which means to see Krishna is the goal for all persons and not simply ourselves. Of course, that is the external or superficial meaning. But the hidden implication is this. The gopis are actually saying, the faces of Krishna and Balaram with their dancing bliss, their dancing love-filled eyes, give bliss to everyone in the Vrindavan forest. Even the birds and beasts are becoming ecstatic by seeing Krishna and Balaram. But not to us, who are staying in our houses far away from these two boys. So that's what they're saying. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.27, Vasudev said, "O Nanda, my son Mamasuta Balaram thinks of you as if you were his father. Ta tam bhavanta manvano." Also, Shukadev said, "Balaram offered respects to his parents, Nanda and Yashoda, and they blessed him." That's in the 65th chapter. By such statements, therefore, Balaram was commonly known as Nanda's son. Therefore, in this verse, the gopis describe Balaram as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Because they say, because the verse always in the purports, the standard is a commentator, he will explain the meaning of the words. So the gopis are saying, Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor Anaveno Jushtam. Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor Anaveno Jushtam. So Vaktram Vrajesha Sutayor, Vaktram means face. So they're saying the faces of Vrajesha, the Isha, the Lord, the Master, the King of, the Suta means sons. The faces of the sons of the kings of Braj. So they're saying, the gopis are, in the gopis' viewpoint, Balaram and Krishna are both the sons of Brajendra Nandan, or Nandanan. So now he's trying to qualify that, Vishwanath. However, there is a hidden meaning in the gopis' use of the phrase Vaktram Brajesha Sutayor, which means faces of the sons of the king of Braj, Nanda Maharaj. The word Vaktram, face, can mean that face among the two of them, which was turning back, Anu, which means Anavenu, playing the flute. The word Va, with Nipitam, means to drink with intensity. It also indicates seeing, touching, hearing, or smelling, or Va, tasting that face. If the alternate reading Vai is used instead of Va, it means certainly they taste. In other words, the gopis are saying, in a hidden way, by these words, those who give up all shyness and steadiness to drink the nectar of that face playing the flute among the two sons herding the cows in the forest along with their friends, they certainly have fortunate senses and not others. Therefore, we intend to say today, let us abandon all family tradition, shyness, and self-control. So what the gopis are saying, instead of saying, those who have eyes to see the faces of the two sons of, they say, no, of the two sons of Rajendra Nandan, or of Nanda Maharaj, of the two sons, the one son that, who is Anuvenu, who's playing the flute, this is the one we want to look at. And we don't care anything. We just want to see him. That's what they're really saying. And we want to steadily drink the nectar of his face. And anybody who's fortunate, their senses, only those who are fortunate will do this, not others. Another gopi said, yes, let us see, touch, hear, and smell Krishna. But how is it possible since we are so shy? Then one gopi replied, Krishna's face releases sidelong glances, kataksha moksham, upon anyone who becomes lovingly attracted, anurakta, to him. Krishna will search you out and release the arrow of his enchanting glance. When it strikes, you will become agitated with love, forget all your shyness, and abandon your self-control. Then you will look without shyness on the face of Krishna. So the other gopi is saying, oh, you know, we're so shy. You know, we should see and touch and hear and smell Krishna, because this word nipitam means drink with intensity. But nipitam, which is in the verse they're saying, one gopi is saying, it also means see, touch, hear, and smell. So nipitam means to drink with intensity, but it also means to see, to touch, hear, and smell. So all of that type of activity goes on in a very confidential, intimate setting. You see your beloved, you touch your beloved, you hear your beloved's love cries or love words, and then you, of course, touch your beloved and smell your beloved. So that means intimacy, because you can't smell someone unless you're right next to them. And you can't touch them unless you're right next to them. So this word nipitam not only means to drink with the eyes, but it means all these things, to touch Krishna, see Krishna, hear Krishna, and smell Krishna. And then the other gopi says, yes, let us see, touch, hear, and smell Krishna, but we're very shy. How can we do that? And our mother-in-laws are there, and sister-in-laws. And then the other gopi says, listen, if he lets go his kataksha, kripa kataksha, Krishna kataksha, If he lets his sidelong glances, if he releases the arrows of his glances upon anybody's face, as soon as those glances hit your face, you know what will happen? You will become lovingly attracted. Kataksha moksham, anurakta kataksha moksham. Then Krishna will search you out, if you look at him, and he'll release his enchanting glances. And when it strikes, when his glances strike your eyes and face, you will become agitated with love, and you'll forget all your shyness and abandon all your self-control. Then you will look at Krishna without any shyness. So this is a nice, beautiful description of the gopis. Vishnu Chakravarti is revealing how the gopis are speaking to each other in the Veno Geet, and the great intimacy of their discussion, the inner meaning of their words, because their outer meaning and inner meaning. And even our common vernacular in our everyday dealing, sometimes we have inner meaning and outer meaning. Like we may have some, especially husbands and wives, they have code words, and when they're dealing with the children, they say, take the little boy to the land of Oz, or whatever, which means to put him to bed. Take him to the dream world or something, or take him to, like sometimes I tell people, I say, I'm going to another world now. And they say, what do you mean? It means I'm going to sleep. I'm going to forget this world and go to another world. So there's outer meaning, inner meaning. So the gopis are champions of dual meanings. And because it's also mentioned here that they're a little afraid that they're out there and standing in front of their houses, and they just start shouting and revealing in very direct language of how much they love Krishna and how much they miss him and how much they're eager to see him and missing his smiling glances and sweet playing on his flute, then their mother-in-laws will catch on. Their mother-in-laws will understand, oh, this is so blunt, so straightforward. They're just wanton ladies and they're lusting after Krishna, and they're supposed to be married to my son. So they speak in a very indirect way. Oh, those eyes are fortunate who see the two sons, the Krishna and Balaram, coming back with the cows. They're very fortunate. So that's the outward meaning. So their mother-in-laws won't be too suspicious. They won't be doubtful of their daughter's chastity. They won't become suspicious of what their motive is. But what they're really saying is, of those two sons, we want to see that one son, the Anuvenum, who's playing that Venu, that flute. And he is the one that we're after. And, his face, when he walks by and he turns his face back to look at us, and we look at him, and that's the perfection of our eyes. That's the perfection of anyone's eyes. In fact, if we let our eyes look at Krishna, then, and we have some attachment, as it says here, if we become lovingly attracted to Krishna, then he'll search us out. He'll look for us. He'll come after us. He'll look for us. He's attracted to love. We say Krishna is attraction and satisfaction. So if we manifest that type of purity and that type of interest, if we become interested in Krishna, he becomes interested in us. Not like the material world. You may become very interested in some girl. You say, she's pretty nice. And then you make some overtures or you make some approach. And you say, get out of here, you fat kid. You're too fat, I don't like you. You know, and then she shoots you down at the first approach. And you say, oh, because you misread her face or eyes. You saw her in the school, in the college, and she seemed to look at you and you thought she was attracted to you.